I don't know. I our heart is to just get a little closer. Maybe by physically getting closer, we can allow that to penetrate our hearts. And we just want to, the idea here is, good morning, Sophie. The idea here is that we can knit our hearts. And, you know, maybe moving chairs and coming down off the platform, it, you know, alone isn't the answer, obviously. But we're a family, right? God's placed us together as a family, and we want to entertain that environment, allow that, produce that, whatever, allow it to be a reality. And so here we are. Something different. And I think we've been dealing with something different for a while now. And I think we're going to continue to do that. So I say let's have open hearts. And part of this is, part of knitting our hearts together, is that we all have a value. We all have a priority. We all have a uniqueness within ourselves to contribute to the family, to the body of Christ. And so with that said, we all have to make investment. We all have to open ourselves up, which is a bit risky, you know, especially if you've lived life, because, you know, risk, you know, can equate to, I guess, hurts. But we're not willing to do that here. We're willing to open our hearts up to equate to growing and health and healing. And with that being said, together we need to grow. We're a family. So, what does it look like? I don't know. What does it mean? It means God is here. It means He loves us. It means that it comes down to each one of us having a voice and being willing to provide our part of the bigger picture. So this morning when we're worshiping, you know, let's do that. If the Lord lays something on your heart and it's for everybody, don't try to write it off. Don't try to act like it's, oh, that's not for me, or oh, I can't do that, or whatever. Let's open our hearts up this morning just to receive. Can we agree to that? To receive and to give. So, Lord, would you just pray with me? Lord, we come here this morning, God, with open hearts. And we lay everything else down. And we just desire to pick up what you have for us, God. Desire to be used, Lord, in the ways that only you can use us, God. That will strengthen us. That will strengthen our friends, our family. It'll strengthen everybody around us, God. But most importantly, we entertain your presence here this morning and desire very strongly for you to be here, to speak to us, to rearrange our priorities this morning, God. Just to rearrange our priorities this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Will you guys stand up with us this morning? I feel great because now we're all standing on the same level. No, that's not in my way, Josh. I would rather be, no place I would rather be, no place I would rather be than here in your love, here in your love. No place I would rather be, no place I would rather be, no place I would rather be than here in your love, here in your love. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God.
we all agree that we want more of God this morning? And as we continue to worship, guys, I just challenge you to press into the more of God, the more He has for you. If that means you sing and you've never sang before, you're invited to sing. If that means you've never lifted your hands to Him before, then lift your hands. Just whatever that next step is, press in, because He's willing to meet you there. He comes out like a good father and He meets us. And there's no place I'd rather be.
No place I would rather be. No place I would rather be. No place I would rather be. Hearing your love, hearing your love. No place I would rather be. No place I would rather be. No place I would rather be. Hearing your love, hearing your love. No place I would rather be. No place I would rather be. No place I would rather be. I would rather be. No place I would rather be. No place I would rather be. Than hearing your love, hearing your love. So set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you.
Sacrifice this morning.
Your fire fall down, fire fall down on us, we pray. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. Hearing your love, hearing your love. No place I would rather be. No place I would rather be. No place I would rather be.
hearing your love, hearing your love. No place I would rather be, no place I would rather be, no place I would rather be than hearing your love, hearing your love. No place I would rather be, no place I would rather be, no place I would rather be than hearing your love, hearing your love. Fire, fall down, fire, fall down on us, we pray. Fire, fall down, fire, fall down on us, we pray. Fire, fall down, fire, fall down on us, we pray. Again, fire. Cause I know, cause I know that you're alive. You came to fix my broken life. So I sing to glorify your holy name, it's Jesus Christ.
Just like the fire would fall on the altar, and you bring fire to a sacrifice, our lives are a living sacrifice before God. And this morning as we worship, our worship is a sacrifice before God. And when we sing that fire fall down, we're singing, God, come and consume me. We're saying, my life is yours for the taking, God. And I just feel like we have to have that resolve in our hearts this morning. That God, our lives are yours. That there is one purpose for which we live. And that's for you. That's to do the will of my Father. Like Jesus said, I'm about my Father's business. When people see us, they need to know that we're about our Father's business. And I know that this is not, it's not out of a place of perfection in my own life that I'm sharing this with you guys, but it's rather out of a place that I'm yearning for. It's not out of a place I'm working towards, it's out of a rest that I want to enter into, guys. And I just feel like if you make a decision in your heart this morning again that God, my life is yours, that he's going to meet you there. He's going to honor you. Just like a prodigal son, like I feel like we get it confused so much that there's this one-time return to Jesus. And then from there on out, it's like then you're in this thing for a while and you go, okay, where do I go now? But you know, that's a continuous experience, the prodigal experience, because God is continuously coming out to meet us where we are. So I really want to sing that song, Fire Fall Down, again. And if you guys would just make that resolve in your hearts before God that I am yours, that my life is yours, that I desire to be a sacrifice to you, God. Can we do that? Do only three people want to do that? are willing vessels.
Your fire fall down, fire fall down on us, we pray. Came to fix my broken life, so I sing to glorify your holy name, Jesus Christ, 'cause I know that you're alive. You came to fix my broken life, so I sing to glorify your holy name. It's Jesus
feel in my spirit. Since the first like verse that we started singing, I just felt like God was saying to me specifically, because I don't know what you guys brought in with you this morning, but for me, I cannot confirm nor deny if I've already yelled at a child this morning, or that I may have just eaten a cheese stick for breakfast, or, you know, running around like a chicken with my head cut off this morning, but or frustrations or whatever. Whatever we come in with today, I just really, really feel like God is saying the very least that we can do for God today is come in here and not let it be about us. Not let it be about what we're bringing in, but truly say, okay, God, it doesn't matter that I just ate a cheese stick for breakfast in front of the entire church. That doesn't matter. What matters is that we're here for the presence of God, and this needs to be our focus. Let's be present in this moment and say, God, what do you have for me today? Whatever it is, maybe it's a lesson on how to manage time. Maybe it's a lesson, you know, to not lose your temper with your kid. Whatever it is, God has something for each of us today, and we can't focus on what we brought in. I really feel like we need to dedicate this time, say, God, whatever you have for me, I don't care what I brought in, I want to leave with what you have for me today. And let's focus on that, and let's not let this service be about us or you know, whatever is dragging along, whatever came in for the week or whatever. Let's let this be about God and his presence and what he's doing in our lives.
This isn't quite as eloquent as the way Sarah said it, because it's thousands of thoughts going through my mind. Walked in here and saw change. And I thought, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. It looks different. It feels different. It is different. Now what are we going to do, Lord? Now what are we going to do? A couple of weeks ago, we talked about family, that we were family. I don't know if that's touched you, changed you, if you thought about it, care about it, but you came back. And every time you walk through those doors, every Sunday morning, you're walking in as a family of God. Every time you walk out those doors, you're walking out as a family of God. But when you come in, the burdens that you bring, you're not to walk out with them. So if you have burdens, if you have doubts, if you have fears, you can have deers too, but you know, fears, your place to get rid of them is here. Because the Lord wants you to love Him as He loves you. He sent His Father, God sent His Son. God sent His Son so that we are free. We are free. So if you walk in here every Sunday and you walk out with the same burdens, it becomes a hopeless society, hopeless and full of fear. And your job is pretty much what Sarah said. Your job is to come in here and be free of those, because you trust each of us, you love each of us, you want a difference in each of us, and you're going to be free of those burdens, and you're going to walk out with joy and peace and love and care. And so if that happens, then our focus can be on Father God. Our focus can be on what Jesus Christ did for us. So if you're believing these words of these songs that we're singing, then let it get into your heart. Let it get into your spirit. And hallelujah, Lord God, that you're giving us a chance. It is your responsibility. It isn't the pastor's responsibility. It's your responsibility to come and be part of and partake in. And so, Lord Jesus, we beseech you, Lord. We so beseech you. We're not a society of hopelessness, because the Lord God died and rose for us. So we are a family, Lord God, a little broken, but we don't need to remain there. We're a family that's going to love and respect and accept, and don't doubt. Don't doubt that God in heaven is not on the throne. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
I think about the pains and the hurts that we each brought in here. I think about the one who knows a lot more pain than I ever will. And when I hold on to him, I'm not trusting him. I believe in the finished work of the cross. Do you guys agree? And do you guys believe this morning? Because if you agree and you believe, then all your pain is taken. There's someone who purchased it. It's no longer ours. And what can wash away my sin? Blood of Jesus. And what
I've known. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
We agree with your finished work, God. We agree. We know your blood is speaking greater things.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And what can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
I think that line was so pivotal, and it says, what can break my chains again, or what can make me free again? And I think as people, we're like, well, I already dealt with that once. I don't want to deal with it again, because I feel like I shouldn't have to deal with it again, because I shouldn't. The Lord already freed me of that. But sometimes freedom is continually walking in that forgiveness every day. And sometimes that very forgiveness you have to walk in is the forgiveness of yourself. Because if we don't every day choose to walk in that forgiveness, we're going to get bound by those chains again. And we're going to get to a point where it's like, man, I've done this 5,000 times, and I feel like if I do it one more, I'm just going to throw my hands in the air. Well, that's what the enemy wants you to think. Because he wants to keep you bound by those chains. He wants to keep you locked up. He wants to keep you right where he wants you, so you don't fulfill the call of God on your life, so your family doesn't walk in the calling that they have as a family, so you don't succeed at what you're setting your mind to do, and boom, 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 boom. So as we sing that next song, if there's something that's pressing on your heart, maybe it's cigarettes, or maybe it's, man, I yell at my kids too much, or maybe it's, I stole something, or I did this, or I did that, or I don't do what my boss asks me to do, or maybe it's an even bigger sin. Maybe it's a secret sin that nobody knows about except for you and God. And sometimes those are the hardest ones to deal with. But maybe that's the very thing that the Lord wants to break off your life today, is that thing that you keep so secret. And as we bring up this next song, I invite you into the space that we're in, whatever you want to call it. Do it in your chair, but that space is in your heart. It's not up here, it's not back there, it's not over here, whatever. But say, Lord, I don't want to deal with this anymore. I want you to take this from me, Father God. I want to walk in your freedom. I want to walk in your grace, and I want to walk in your love, Father God. God, I pray that right now, Father God, as people are reaching into their innermost, Father God, that you will touch them right where they're at, Father God. God, that very thing that they are struggling with, Father God, that you will break that chain in the name of Jesus, Father God. God, that you will breathe life into their situation, Father God. You will bring truth into what they're thinking, Father God, that they won't buy into the lie of the enemy any longer, Father God, but they will look to you, Father God, God, and trust that what you're doing in them, Father God, will be, make them new, Father God. And Lord, as they leave this building today, Father God, and they struggle with it tomorrow, Father God, that they will remind the enemy, no, I'm going to walk in the freedom that Jesus died on the cross for. I'm going to walk in that grace, and I'm going to walk in his love. Father, right now, we just invite you, Father God.
Just pay the highest price. Has proven his great love for us, and we will praise him with our lives
and proclaim
our love for him. And he has paid the highest price. Has proven his great love for us, so we will praise him with our lives and proclaim our love for him.
Let's sing that again.
He has paid the highest price. Has proven his great love for us, so we will praise him with our lives. Oh, proclaim our love for him. Yeah. He has paid the highest price. Never runs out on me. Your love never fails. It never gives up. Never runs out on me. Your love never fails. It never gives up. Never runs out on me. Your love. Oh, your love never fails. Your love never fails. It never gives up. Never runs out on me. Your love never fails. It never gives up. Never runs out on me. Your love never fails. It never gives up. Never runs out on me. In death, in life, I'm confidently covered by the power of your great love. I know my debt is paid. There's nothing that could separate my heart from your great love. Your love never fails, it never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails, it never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails, it never gives up, never runs out on me. Oh, he has paid the highest price. He has proven his great love for us. And we will praise him with our lives and proclaim our love for him.
Just lift your hands.
And he has paid the highest price. And he has proven his great love for us. And we will praise him with our lives and proclaim our love for him. In everything we do, we declare our love for you.
Sing that out.
In everything we do, we declare our love for you. Declare our love for you. In everything we do, we do. We declare our love for you. Because he has paid the highest price. He has proven his great love for us, and we will praise him with our lives and proclaim our love for him. With everything we do, we declare our love for you. Oh, with everything we do, we declare our love for you.
Hello? Okay. Okay, so I don't know how this is going to go. And Stinking Steven and Josh keep looking at me like, I know you got something. And I have had this thing brewing in me all week. And I listened to this sermon. I don't even know what night it was. Maybe Friday night or whatever. And it's called Don't Get Stuck in the Sentence. And I don't know why I'm crying, because it's not like a sad thing. But that's me. That's how God made me. But basically it is that we all know that our lives are a story. And so many times we get stuck in that one sentence. And lately, since I've been working, I became a reader, and I love reading. And I just kept thinking, because me, I'm one that I have to see. I have to make it practical for me to understand. And so I was thinking of, what does that look like if I constantly lived in the sentence of the story of my life? And I was thinking as if I was reading a book, and, you know, you read a sentence, and then you're reading it, and I know we probably have all done this. We've read the sentence, but we're thinking of something else. So then you have to go back and read the sentence again, and it's like constant, and it's like, okay, focus, you know, because I want to see what's going to happen. And I thought, how many times do we do that, that in our own life, something happens in our life. Maybe it's something very tragic, and we live in that, and we go back and do it again, and do it again, and do it again, and we don't move to the next chapter of our life. And in that sermon, it was talking about how we can't manage the enemy. And I was thinking of like with myself, with fear, or because everyone that knows me, I'm fearful of everything. Like driving in the car while my husband's driving, I'm like, whoa, slow down, you know, watch out, you know, and it drives him crazy. And it's like, you know, it is justified if you've rode with him. No, he's a good driver. but that we can't manage that. And I don't know what it is. We all have something, like Stephen said, we all have something in our life that controls us. And it may be the thing of fear, or abandonment, or abuse, or whatever it may be. And you can't manage that. You can't manage the enemy. You have to get rid of it. And I was thinking of things like with my fear, like I thought, well, maybe I should get on some medication for this, you know, to kind of numb myself. So then like I think of my mom, love her to death, but I get it from her. And whenever she has to fly or drive up to Mount Rainier, she has to be on lorazepam, which is a medication. And then when she takes it, she's like, oh, nothing matters, you know. But it's just numbing that thing that's controlling her. Because as soon as that pill wears off, it's right back to where she began. And so I say that because I was trying to fit this in with like what Stephen said and Barb said and Sarah said. And I'm like, how does this fit in? Because it seems so different. But like how Barb was saying, when you come in here, you get rid of all that stuff. And even though those things, we try to manage it, it's a heart thing. And I pray all the time, like, God, why am I so fearful? Like, what am I so scared of? And I can try to numb it, and I could say, oh, I'm going to drive all the time instead of Josh. I could do that, but it's still not going to take care of it, because it's a heart issue. And so I pray and pray and pray that all of you guys are receiving this, because we all have something, whether we sit here and act like we don't have nothing, or we go about our day like we have it all together. None of us do. And that you get rid of it, because that's when freedom truly comes. And I think of like, started crying when Stephen said, you know, we all have something. And I'm trying to think like, okay, Lord, what is mine? And I know there's a long, long list. And I'm going to be transparent with all you guys, because you're my family. And I think of one of my children that we all know, love them to death. But it's like whenever we're around, it's like
something in my spirit shifts. And I like put up a guard or I let my guard down. And I don't know what it is. And I know it's a spirit of confusion for him and for myself. And I am praying right here, right now, in front of all of you, that that is gone. And it's no longer going to be that. I'm going to be able to embrace my son in all of his craziness and not try to figure out, like, why he's doing this and why he's doing that. Because that's not my job. My job is to love him unconditionally. And I don't want that no more. I want that. I do have unconditional love for all my kids. But I don't want that feeling no more. That, like, anxiety or what's going to happen or what's going to come next. And I'm declaring that in front of all you so it could be gone from my life. And I'm speaking it out so the enemy does not have that on me no more. Because I know that roots from when I was in high school and when I was pregnant and all the things that have happened to me during that time and the things I try to do to try to make our life perfect. I tried to write my own book and I tried to say, okay, this is what's going to happen next and this is what's going to happen next. And you know what? Then it didn't happen. So then you feel like a failure. And I have to see my son live through that. And I apologize all the time, but I can't fix it. I can't change it because it's already happened. And I have to move to the next chapter of my book because it's something different. I can't go back and say, well, if I would have done this or if I would have done that, then it would have been different because this is where I'm at now. And I don't want that no more. And so I just pray for each one of you that maybe you have to dig deep, or maybe you guys have that thing right now in your head, like Stephen said, that you know what it is, what the root core issue is that has caused you to be fearful, to be doubtful, to fear abandonment, to whatever it may be, because you know drug use, pornography, all those things are a mask of whatever that root is. And until you deal with that root issue, those things are not going to go away. You may say, I'm never going to hang out with these people again because when I'm with them, I use. I'm going to move away or I'm going to do this and that. One thing we've always told our kids is you take you wherever you go. And until you get rid of whatever that root issue is, it's going to stay. And so I just pray that God will show all of you what it is. And that you are strong enough to say no more, no more, and not be shameful of it, because there is no shame. We all have stuff. And so I don't even know if any of that made sense, but I know it's something I had to do for myself. And so bless you.
Thank you, Michelle, because that's something I deal with a lot. I work for Rose's husband and Hope's stepdad, and he really infuriates me a lot of days. And his term to me is, you're bossy. And I'm like, I'm not bossy, I just care. And when I stop caring about you, I'm going to stop being bossy. But my problem is that I want people to listen to what I have to say to them. And I used to ask my mom, or demand as a teenager, young kid, would you just let me live my life? Let me make my own mistake. I'm not going to learn it if I don't make it. But as an adult, I now find myself doing that for the people that I care for. I want them to not make the mistakes I made. I want them to do it right and have it right. Because I don't want them to be where I was. But you know what? They're not going to learn it if they don't get there. And I have a son who's there. He took a little bit longer to get there. He didn't do it at 14. He did it at, you know, a couple of years older. But I have to let him live his life. And I have to let Bill make his choices, whether I like those choices or not. And when I started being a caregiver, my first client, when I left her for injury, she turned around and got evil on me and harmed me and said some awful things to me. So now I'm always trying to protect myself from that happening again. So I am fearful all the time of being hurt by those I love and care for. So I'm going to pray that that leaves and that I stop being so damn bossy. And anybody else who deals with that, you know, we all have come from places where we've been hurt and we wanted to do our own thing. And so now we want to make other people's not do it. And we can't make them not do it. And that's my I love my people that I work for, even at Sun Tower. I love them and I'm always doing my best for them. But when they don't listen to me, I just want to throw up my hands and be like, fine, whatever. And give up, and I can't. So I'm just going to be praying for that. For, you know, we're a family. We are a family, and we have to love each other. You know, bruises, zits, ugliness, you know, and then the beauty too. And so here's my zits. And so we just, you know, love each other and come together and pray for each other, you know, and that's what I'm hoping will come from today.
Do you want to pray?
Okay.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we just lift your holy name today, Heavenly Father, Lord, and we just lift your work in our lives, Heavenly Father, Lord. We just pray, Lord, that as we have come in to serve, that we to worship you, Lord, that we will leave to serve your people, Lord, that you put in our lives, Heavenly Father, and each other, our families, Heavenly Father, Lord. And as we do that and we concentrate on you, Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that we build up our family bonds here in this environment, in this church, Lord, so we can go out and be better family to those around us, Heavenly Father, Lord. And Lord, we just thank you for your grace and your mercy, Heavenly Father, Lord. We thank you for every single broken chain, Heavenly Father, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for every bit of transparency, Lord. And we just thank you for those who they're not ready yet, Heavenly Father, Lord, but we know that you'll make them ready, Heavenly Father, Lord. And that, Lord, they will just know that this is a place to be, to come and experience your love through other people, Heavenly Father, and through your presence, Lord. And we just pray these things in the sweet name of Jesus. Amen.
I just want to announce really quickly the women's conference coming up on November 13th and 14th. Lotta and I are going to pass these out. If you're a woman, raise your hand so we can get these to you. All the information's here. It's $20. It's going to be Friday night and Saturday. If you want to take some extra of these to take to your friends, then by all means do that. We want lots of women here to receive. We're going to have a special guest. It's going to be lots of fun. So
amen, right? So if you're a woman, raise your hand. Al, put your hand down, please. Just kidding. How's everybody doing? Good? Yeah? Who was wigged out by the chairs being all kind of moved around? Be honest. You were wigged out? It was kind of weird, huh? Next week, there's going to be one less chair every week. That way you have to like come before 10:30 to get your seat, and then we'll start adding chairs. I'm just kidding. One more seat every week. That's right. But we'll cram it. We'll do it. How many of you like that worship service? Good? Got anything to say? No? Okay. I just make sure. So, we're going to, are you guys good with the kids stay up? Is that good or is that not okay? It's not okay? All right. So if the kids could come up. How many, and by kids, I mean like you have to be 4 or older to go downstairs or you're in the nursery. 3 or older. Yeah, no, they can be in the nursery 0 to 3. So if they're 4, yeah, that's what I thought. I don't know. There you go. So, all right, cool. You got anything to say, Ev? Want to pray? You don't want to pray?
Scared
to pray. You're just talking to Jesus. Can you just say a quick prayer? No? Okay. So we're going to pray for you guys. Lord, I just pray for the kids right now, Father God. I pray that you will touch their hearts, Father God. I pray that you will open their ears, Father God, and open their spirits, Father God. God, I thank you for their innocence, Father God. I pray that they will just rest in who you are, Father God, that they will find their identity in you, Father God, that they will look to you for guidance, Father God, for truth, Father God, and for wisdom. Lord, I pray that you will touch them, Father God, and help them to have a good time and touch their teachers in your name. Amen. So, I have got a little story for you guys. Kind of a little story. I don't know how long this will be. It might be a minute and a half, or it might be 25 minutes. But I listened to this podcast. I'm going to move this because I'm probably going to end up tripping over it. So just excuse me for a sec. I listened to this podcast, and it's, you guys know who Stephen Furtick is? Raise your hand if you know who Stephen Furtick is. Okay, so Stephen Furtick runs a church in Charlotte, North Carolina. Big church, whatever. I listened to his podcast. That's all you really need to know. And I came across this other guy. His name's Levi Lesko. How many of you, anybody heard of Levi Lesko? Other than my wife, you've heard of Levi Lesko? He's a cool dude. He's got tats all over his arms, all over his knuckles. I like it. It's pretty cool. I'm going to do a full sleeve down my arm. That's what my wife wants me to do. Totally kidding. Anyways, so I drive a lot. And I mean, I drive a lot. I put 1,000 miles on in 3 days this week. So I put a lot of miles on. I'm by myself a lot in the car. So I listen to these podcasts. And so I hadn't listened to any podcast for quite a while, and so I turned this one on, and it is called Through the Eyes of a Lion. And basically, give you a little bit of his backstory. Him and his wife, they run a church in Montana. It's a pretty large church. 2 years ago, their second oldest daughter, 5 years old, had an asthma attack, and the Lord decided to take her home to heaven at 5 years old. I have a 3-year-old, and if the Lord chose to take my 3-year-old, I'd be pretty upset. So, I don't know why I'm crying. He didn't take my 3-year-old. He took his 5-year-old, but anyways. So, I listened to this message. It's called Through the Eyes of a Lion, and he talks about fear and how we all have a fear of something. You know, my fear is being a good father, or being a good husband, providing for my family, not being successful. I've talked about that before. That's my fear. All of us have a different fear. Like Michelle said, she has fear of, things that happened to her through high school, confusion. Some of us have that fear of abandonment. Some of us were abused. Some of us have fear of a father figure. So we have this really misconstrued perception of what our Father in heaven is. We think that he's this authority figure over us, and he's raining down, and he's doing this, and he's doing that, and he's doing whatever. So we all have a fear. And so when his daughter was taken from him, this fear was created, this loneliness, this emptiness, and then this fear of facing life without his child. And he goes on to say, we went to a restaurant, I would always say, there's 6 of us. Well, now there's only 5 of them. And so he'd have this fear of when he'd be out in public and he'd be sharing or talking about his family or what have you. Anyways, so I listened to this message by him through his podcast. And great message. I encourage you all to look it up. Through the Eyes of a Lion, Run Towards the Roar. We'll get to that in a second and what he shared. I'm just sharing what he shared. I hope that's cool with you guys because it really impacted my heart and my life. And like 2 weeks later, I turn on Stephen Furtick's podcast. I hadn't listened to it in a while. I just hit the most recent message, and it was Levi Lesko sharing at Stephen Furtick's church on the same topic that I listened to on his podcast, but his podcast was from like 6 months ago. So I believe that, this is something that is close to my heart, and I think that everybody can glean something from it because we all have a fear, and we all have something that we're running from, really. And we do everything we can to escape that fear. Like a little kid, they're scared of the dark. And so what do? Is you throw a nightlight in their room to throw a little light in there so they don't have to be scared anymore. Or, they're all running from this thing. Another one of my fears is sharing with people at my work, mostly because I'm their boss. And I have this great fear of, well, I don't really know if I can say that to them, because what if they do this? I was talking to my wife about this in the car, and this guy, super grumpy dude, the most grumpy guy you will ever meet in your life, and I'm going to take a drink of coffee because I'm getting like dry mouth, so I know none of you want to listen to that. That was black coffee, Josh, just so you know. Most grumpy guy you would ever meet. And ever since I started working for Cisco, him and I, like, literally you'd think we were best friends. He called me one day, and he was like, hey, can you take me to the doctor tomorrow? I don't have a ride. This dude is nuts. He throws stuff at the walls. He's really just, he's angry. He's hurt. He's frustrated, whatever. And he was telling me, he's like, man, we were talking, and he's tormented by dreams. And anyways, he goes on about this list of everything that's happened in him, his life, and I didn't say anything because I was scared of or fearful of the repercussions of what might happen. However, if I would have walked towards that fear, who knows, I could have, you know, facilitated the Lord coming into his life and the Lord setting him free if I would have faced my fear instead of stepping back and being like, I really shouldn't do that. All because of my fear of, oh, I'm his boss, I may lose my job. And my wife was like, if you lose your job over something like that, then who cares? Lord's going to take care of you, right? I mean, that's really how it goes. So anyways, any of you watch like National Geographic? Al probably does. Al watches lots of documentaries, right? I started watching documentaries. Documentaries are pretty good. So anyways, lions. Has anybody watched anything about lions before? Anybody know anything about lions? Raise your hand. Okay. So lions live in prides, right? And they live, you know, I don't know how big their prides are. I've never really watched anything on lions. I'm just kind of throwing this out there. They live in prides. And the lionesses, the women, they go out and they do the hunting. They do the finding of the food. They do all the real hard work. And then they bring the food to us, the men, and we're like, yeah, cha-ching. Anyways, at least Uncle Jesse left. So anyways, when these lions go out and they hunt, the lionesses will surround their prey. And they will kind of encircle them from every different angle. And then the male lion will come up at a key position and roar extremely loud to scare that prey away from the roar and into the herd of lionesses, essentially sending them into their fate. And they're going to die and become the meal. Yeah. But if that wildebeest or that hog or whatever it may be would have just turned and run towards the roar, they would have survived. So if we would turn from our fear, like Michelle was so eloquently talking about, and we would literally face our fear and run towards it, what's God going to do with us? I don't know. I've never ran towards my fear. I don't know. Sometimes I have. But in 2 Timothy 1:7, it's up on the screen. Just kidding. Tanya was like, what? It's not supposed to be on the screen. And I know we've all heard this before, and it says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And that's what I want to live. I want to live with power and love and a sound mind. I don't want to feel uncomfortable when somebody's around me because I'm scared of what they might think or what might happen or what might be the repercussions of what I do or say or whatever. Or I don't want to, you know, I want to be that person that is running towards the roar, that is running, facing my fear and is like, okay, God, even though this is scary, even though I don't understand necessarily what's going on, or maybe I don't even see what the other side of this coin is, I'm going to run to it because I know that facing that, I'm going to grow and the Lord is going to stretch you and he's going to make something different. I'm sure it was scary for Michelle to sit here and say, I'm not going to do that anymore in front of all of us. I'm not going to do that any longer. That's hard. But that is facing the fear, and that is saying, you know what, God, whatever you have for me, whatever you want, this is what I'm going to do. Lay it out all on the line and go for it. Is that clicking with anybody? Is that good? You know, the devil, he's scary, right? That's what we think. That's what we were raised to think. Is he scary? Don't mess with them. Don't whatever. It's just that's a no fly zone. But literally, if we would take the devil on, he has no power. He has nothing over you. And if we would just just attack it and walk our Christian walk with that in mind that, you know what, I'm not going to be fearful. I'm not going to be scared. The enemy doesn't have that hold over me. I'm not going to remain quiet any longer. I'm not going to be silent. I'm not going to let the enemy bind my family anymore. I'm not going to struggle with daddy issues anymore. I'm not going to struggle with the fact that my husband or my wife cheated on me a year and a half, 3 years ago, 6 months ago, last week, whatever. If you're going to face your fear, you're going to face your fear and you're going to run towards it. And the Lord is going to bless you because of it. There's going to be no more of this standing in the shadows and just being tied up, because there's something that God has for every single one of us. Whether that be praying for a mom that baby is sick and ill or whatnot, whether you're praying out loud or you're praying as you're just in the spirit as you're walking with them, you know, or as you're walking down the hallways of your school and you're praying, or, you know, as you're driving. I mean, this guy probably puts a lot more miles on than I do on the road, but literally, as you're praying for people, as you're driving by them on the road, the Lord is going to fulfill something and change you. That's the type of calling that God wants on us, is to be so free and just, all right, God, this is what I'm going to do. No more fear, no more timidity, no more nothing. He wants so much for us to walk in that calling and walk in his freedom and walk in his grace and walk in his love, that I don't want to stand back and I don't want to be scared anymore. I don't want to not fulfill the call of God on my life because I'm scared or because I'm fearful or whatnot. I remember our barbecue out here, and you had some of Derek's music on your phone, and you were like, well, you want me to play it? And he was like, I don't know. But there's such a message in what your music does that you don't want to, if you would face the fear. He sent me a new song the other day, and just the opening line, and it's rap music. Not a lot of people like rap music, but it brought me to tears because it spoke to my heart. But the enemy wants to hold that fear and say, nah, they're not really going to, you know, only send it to this person or only send it to that person or whatever. Don't be scared of, don't buy into the lie of the enemy, because there's so much more on the other side of your obedience and the other side of that coin. If you would just, all right, God, I'm not going to be fearful. I'm not going to be scared. This is what I'm going to do. And run towards it and say, I'm going to face my fear head on. I'm going to pile drive right through it, because that's what the enemy doesn't want us to do, right? Josh is scribbling. Does anybody have anything that they want to add to that? Or maybe say, this is my fear and I don't want to struggle with that anymore. I don't want to deal with this anymore because I've been dealing with it for 20 years. And this isn't something that I want the enemy to hold over me anymore. Maybe whatever that may be. Uncle Jesse, can you turn on a little bit of background music for me? That'd be fantastic. Just whatever we were playing before service.
I definitely, anyone who like knows me or has talked to me regarding anything to do with church, you know that I am probably the most disobedient person here. Whenever God asks me to say something, I fight it and I fight it. And yesterday, I pretty much just decided, okay, God, I can't. And I've decided this before, but it wasn't heartfelt. Yesterday, I just decided, God, we are in such a pivotal time in our church, in our community, in the world. As believers, we cannot be disobedient anymore. And when God gives me something to say, I have to. For my kids, my family, I have to be obedient. And when Stephen was sharing that, you know, every one of us, obviously, he said a million times, has a fear. And the thing is that those things, like for me sharing a word or whatever, I know that God uses that to touch people and to draw them closer to Him. And so by me holding that back is not fair to people, and it's not fair to what God's trying to do. And if I'm disobedient, He will use someone else. It never fails. He will accomplish His will no matter what. And each one of us have something that God needs to use. It's not just me. It's not just Stephen, Josh, Michelle, Glenn, and Lotta, whoever. Every single one of you has a purpose in this house, in this community, in the body of Christ. You all have a gift. It doesn't matter where you see yourself or what you see of yourself. God has a need of you. He put gifts and talents inside of you for His glory to be used. And I feel like I just want to implore you guys, this is such a time, a pivotal time for each one of us to rise up. I believe Josh was kind of mentioning that earlier. But we have to rise up and do whatever you know. I mean, each one of us know, like, this is what God created me for. This is what, when you, like, for instance, when I'm obedient to what God's asked me to do, I just feel such a peace. And I feel like God's up there going, you did it. Like, I am so proud of you. And I just feel such a peace, such a wholeness. And I know that whatever God has placed in your guys' hearts to do, we have to step up and do that. It doesn't matter what fear is on the other side of that. It doesn't matter what's holding us back or what we've done or whatever we're allowing to bind those things up. We have to just say, anything you ask of me, I'll do, God. This is a time for that in our lives and our church. And truly, I know for Stephen and I, and I know for the other staff people and whatever, our heart is to step up and do whatever God's asking us to do so that you guys can step up and do what God's asking you to do. We want nothing more than to see you guys succeed. The whole purpose that God placed on my heart for 31 women is to help women to rise up and be who God's called them to be. Like, literally, there's nothing in my heart that I want to see more than the people of God stepping up and being who God's called them to be. And so I just want to encourage you guys, no matter what's holding you back today, this week, whenever, if God puts it on your heart, please be obedient. Because I know the feeling also of disobedience, and it's like, gosh, dang it, I should have just done it. And then you go and you kick your, well, what would have happened if, and we can't get stuck there. Like Michelle was saying, we can't live in that sentence of disobedience or, you know, not doing what God's asked us to do. We have to keep going. We have to move forward for other people, for our families, for who God wants us to be. And so I just want to encourage you guys today, continue stepping up. If you have something, like Stephen said, if you'd like to share something, by all means, I can tell you that it is terrifying, yes, to say, you know, to be open and vulnerable before our family, but it is imperative. And so if anyone has something that they want to declare today or whatever, then are you pointing to him or you? Okay.
After Josh talks, or speaks, whatever you want to call it, I want us all to close our eyes. And if you have one of those things, I will bring the mic to you. You don't have to get out of your seat. You don't have to come up here. You can raise your hand. And honestly, I mean, if we can't do it here in front of our family, we're going to struggle with it for who knows how long, until you truly let the Lord come in and do a work in your heart. You know, like I had shared a couple weeks back, you know, we are freed by the expression of our own words, by the we release power into our own lives by our spoken word. And when I say that I'm scared of being a good dad, or scared of being a good husband, it's because I am. I'm afraid I'm gonna fail. I'm afraid of failure. And whatever I do, whether it's my job, or task, or being inadequate in other people's eyes, that's what I'm scared of. So if you have something, Josh, this is just gonna hold off for a minute. I want you to raise your hand, and I will. It is. Go ahead. You can come up here. That's cool.
When Stephen said earlier, if anybody has anything to share, I was sitting up on the balcony and my heart started pounding. And I'm like, oh, great. Because we've been, I mean, the thread, the vein through this whole service today was fear and facing our fear and proclaiming that we're not going to be afraid anymore. And I was listening to a message this weekend and it wasn't even about fear. It was about the end times and just prophecy and things like that. And the guy said a line, you know, when he was speaking, he just said that when we are afraid of things on this earth, that we're not afraid of God. Like somebody who is completely in a fear of the Lord, has a fear of the Lord, then we can't be afraid of things on this earth. Nothing on this earth should make us afraid. And so that one sentence that he said just hit me so deeply, and I realized, like, I can't be afraid of anything anymore. You know, like Stephen was talking about sharing with people or just general fears of, like, what's going to happen. We can't be afraid if we have a fear of the Lord. And so we need to root ourselves in that and root ourselves in the Lord and just know that He is going to take care of us through anything, no matter what happens, just giving it to Him. And, you know, like being pregnant with a little baby, it's like, what's going to happen? Everything gonna be okay. And so I've just been having to give that to God, like, weekly, because I'm like, oh, is everything okay? So I'm just, you know, wanting to share that with you guys, that we have to have a fear of the Lord, and then nothing on this earth should make us fearful.
Challenged my heart many times. I'm sitting there thinking about fear. I know it's I had my first two children. I always said I'm fearful of something happened to them someday. I was just fearful. But now God have given me that peace in my heart. And I just, some of you might not know, I just lost a son. And let me tell you, it was a fearful thing in my heart, because I was just dragging it out and just could not get a piece of this thing. And I sit up at night and I pray and I call out on God. And God always come through at a time of need. And I thank God for a praying wife, that she was there with me on every aspect. I thank God for that wife and my fellow Christian friends here, my brothers and sisters. I tell you what, I just come to learn that we serve a big God. We serve a God that's always on time. He have took me through this thing, and we're going to grieve and grieve for years and years at a time. I don't know how long, but I'm still grieving. But you know, God said, it's okay, my son. He's in good hands now. And I know if he had a choice today, say, well, Dad, I want to come back home. I bet you anything he would say, I do not want to come home. I'm rejoicing in heaven. Amen. Some of us have boys, girls, children. If you ever lose a child, let me tell you, that's kind of a hard time in the life. I lost my mom. I lost some brothers. But it's a different kind of love. When I lost my son, I'm still grieving. But God have yet come through and set me free. Amen. I just want to share that fear.
If you guys could just stretch your hand out to them, we're just going to pray for them. Father God, I pray for this couple, Father God. I pray that you will just continually, Father God, guard their heart, Lord. Wrap your arms around them, Father God. And in their moments of heaviness, Father God, you will lift their spirits up, Father God. In their saddest moments, Father God, that they will remember that their son is dancing with you, Jesus. That he is hanging out with you. He is dancing around your throne, worshiping you. God, I just pray that you will just continue to touch both of their hearts, Father God. God, in your name, amen.
just want to share that fear is bondage, you know, it's a captive. And I think about back to the first day when I first met Steve, you know, I had that hesitation in my heart of that little fear of, should I go run after him? And when I first got here, I prayed, Lord, lead me to the church you want me to be at. I want to be where your spirit's at, where you are at. And I had that hesitation. He walked out the door and he was almost gone, but I chose to run after. So it was like choosing to run after what the Lord was putting in my heart to move me after, because that's what I've been praying for. So when we pray for something and we want it so bad and we feel that Holy Spirit nudging in our heart to go and move and to do it, you know, we're missing our opportunity if we don't. So I ran after that. In return, that was like running after the Lord's pushing me. That's it, right there. And that opened up a conversation to where he invited me here. And I've passed this church many times because I lived right here on 32nd a while back. And I passed it many times and I used to look, but I've never been inside. I used to look at the church every time. And a lot of it is in relation as I've kind of feel like that I've been put in a place to challenge my fear. For the last 6 years, I've walked and pushed myself to choose to continue to grow and stay out of that comfort zone. And it's a challenge, but the more and the more I continue to choose to walk with the Lord, no matter what it takes, the embarrassment, the shame, of course that all comes along with it. You know, I've been, you can wrestle in your mind with all these thoughts about people are going to laugh at you, people are going to make fun of you, but that's the thing, that's the beauty of it, because if you know God's word, he backs it up, and he's going to take care of you no matter what. So in relation with that, like a little bit with my music, that's another thing that just really, I've been having a lot of old friends that I used to do with music with before that are coming at me with all these things, and the message, sometimes they want me to kind of, this is what they're on, but I'm not with that no more. And people are starting to understand, to know what I'm about. And it gets scary as I share the message, the love of Christ. That's all I want to do, is to share the love of Christ. And it's hard. Family, friends, social media, I'd rather be recognized and want people to see Christ than me. And be that walking testimony, and it's fearful. It gets scary, but I'd rather take that chance because I see so many people out there hurting, and things are just going down and down and down every day, and I don't want to miss that chance if I could help someone up and out to overcome that fear. You know, it was just fearful for me to kind of get up here, but, and it's my first time. But I love you all, and if it wasn't for me pushing when the Lord said move, this is it, this is the church where I'm going to put you, I wouldn't have met each and every one of you. I still maybe haven't shook everyone's hand in here, but I'm getting there. But know that you are loved, and this is awesome.
It was rap music that got us even talking. I was just wheeling a stack of groceries into the Red Line, and I just, hey, is that, I think you were listening to Lecrae at the time. I was like, is that Lecrae? Oh, yeah, blah, blah, blah. We just started talking. I didn't think anything of it. I was just like, all right, man, I'm out. And I was in a hurry. I was running out the door, and then he comes running in, and then the next Sunday he's here. And, you know, and those are the things that when you are obedient to that little small voice inside of you, and maybe it's nothing, maybe it's just your heart beats a certain way and you're like, okay. And sometimes, you know, that's all it takes. So Rose, you raise your hand.
Okay, so this is my fear. I hate to be in front of people. I can talk to people one-on-one really well, but it's really scary to stand up in front of people, especially people I know. I can go to churches where I don't know anybody and not have a problem with it. But here, I always think I'm being judged by those that we know. When Stephen was speaking, I felt like I was supposed to share some of the things that have gone on. As I was trying to overcome fear, I didn't even realize that fear had me so bound with this one. That so, Holy Spirit, help me with the right words, dear Lord, to be able to share what you would have me share. I work at a school where you're not supposed to talk about Jesus. People can say they believe in God, and that's not even so bad. But when you talk about Jesus, that's where the problems begin. But I learned a long time ago, if God put me in that workplace, that nobody's taking me out. No one is taking me out before God's ready for me to go out. So I can and I do talk about Jesus. And when the children are hurting, I tell them that Jesus is the only way. If you've got unforgiveness, guess what? Jesus can help you with it. Anything. It's just amazing to be able to talk into the youth without fear. You know what? If I do lose my job, well, I don't have a job right now. I'm back to volunteering. But if I do, if I am asked to leave that position, then I will say, thank you, Jesus, because you no longer want me there. Because nobody's going to take me out. He opens doors. Nobody can close. Closes doors. Nobody can open. I don't care whether you're a boss. I don't care whether you're an employee. What you are. Nobody will take you out before he's ready to. And you don't want to be there any longer than he wants you to be there. When you do, you conquer fear. Because fear is not of the Lord. And if you ever feel anything that has something stirring inside of you that makes you feel not good, renounce it in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. You use the name of Jesus and he has to flee. Bible says it, I believe it. So you just take captive every single thought that is not of the Lord and say, I'm going to step out and I'm going to do what the Lord has asked me to do. I am confident and I tell people all the time, you know the Lord's voice. And when you hear that prompting, don't hold back. They need him so much. And he's put you in their path. No one else. You. There'll be another opportunity for someone else. But you will never have the opportunity you have at the very moment that he placed you in someone's path. And don't let Satan bind you with that. Just know that you have inside your heart what God needs for that person at that moment and step past the fear. Thank you.
Is there anybody else that would like to share anything? I just want to
the loss of a child is one of the worst things you will ever go through. I know, I've been there. My child was 2 months old when I lost him. He would be 50 today. And you never forget, but you do stop grieving for the most part. Somebody else's grief will bring that grief back. I feel for you, and I love you. Our children are together in heaven.
Is there anybody else that would like to share? Sure. Lord, I want to lift up all these fears to you, Father God. Even the ones that weren't spoke of, Father God, I pray that you will
capture them, Father God, by your hand and throw them away, Lord, because fear is not of you and it does not belong to you, Father God. I pray for a peace and a love to rest on each one of our shoulders today, Father God. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. So what we had happen here today is with everybody willing to share and support one another, whether you didn't get up here or not, but our hearts are knitting. They're knitted and they're knitting together. And that's an investment. That's something that we have to purpose to do in our hearts, is allow ourselves to be, you know, open up and invest into the kingdom of God by investing into one another, by making ourselves vulnerable, which isn't easy to do, right? I mean, it's not easy. It's easy to hear others talk, but it's not easy to do for ourselves. So I'm going to read a scripture. Before I do that, though, I do want to say I've enjoyed today. It, by all means, it is different than what we've experienced before, but I enjoy that because God's always doing something different. He himself is who he is, and he does not change, but he's constantly calling us into new territory. He's constantly stretching us and pushing us and or welcoming us into that next season, that next thing that requires, depending on him, it's part of being in Christ. And so with that is scary in itself, but it's necessary. So remember that it's necessary. As a body, we're growing, we're bending, we're twisting and pulling, but we have God first and we have each other. We are going to need some hands to put the chairs back for the next service after us. So if you're willing to hang out for a few moments, and you're able to, we would appreciate that. And we have had several people. The church gets cleaned by volunteers, you know, so everybody volunteers like a Saturday. Usually it's like once every month and a half to 2 months. And so if you're able or willing or both to do that, that would be awesome, because we've had a few people for one reason or another that have had to back down from that. And so we're always looking, you know, to get help to keep this place going. So I'm going to pass this around. If you're able to, please do, and certainly appreciate it. I'm going to read from 1 Corinthians 12. No, if you're already on it, don't do it. Thank you for clarifying that. Yeah, it requires, you know, to clean the church is going to be like basically when it's your turn. It's going to, you know, you and a partner, typically a couple hours on a Friday evening or Saturday sometime. That's usually what that requires. So just if you're curious, 1 Corinthians 12. Verse 12, the human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. We've all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I am not a part of the body because I'm not a hand, that does not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, I am not part of the body because I am not an eye, would that make it any less part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if your whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put us each part, it has put each part just where he wants it. How strange a body would be if it had only one part. Yes. There are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. In fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. And the parts we regard as less honorable are those we clothe with the greatest care. So we carefully protect those parts that should not be seen, while the more honorable parts do not require the special care. So God has put the body together with such that extra honor and care are given to those parts that have less dignity. This makes for harmony among the members, so that all the members care for each other. If one part suffers, all parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. All of you together are Christ's body. Rephrase, all of us together are Christ's body, and each of us is a part of it. I leave you with that to say that we are a body. There's not just one of us. There's not just a couple of us. And the more that we can all participate, and yes, not inside of the service as well, like today, but also outside of the service and doing what we're called to do, our part that is specifically designed and unique to us that contributes to everybody else, we need to do that. That's my encouragement. God bless everybody. It was much different, but much needed today. And I'm excited for our next gathering. And I ask that you would prepare your hearts so that as part of the body, each one of us can bring what we have to bring. That we would continually entertain that environment, that atmosphere that has our hearts open to what God wants to do. Okay? It's important. We need each other. We need God first, but we need each other. Amen?
Yeah, I've come from a real hard life, and it's probably no harder than anyone else's. I wanted to come up here not and talk about fear. Whoa. Fear. But I wanted to come up and talk about faith. Faith led me here. Faith leads me every day in my walk. You were talking about when you're driving down the road and you see people, and you just, it's like, oh my goodness, Father God, fix that, or Father God, do this, or pray for that person, whatever it is that they're in. I do that. I wanted to come up and immediately say that out of faith, I kept looking like Derek. We came from the same walk, same places. I went to several churches, and they just didn't feel right. And I kept asking people, and finally my friends brought me here. And immediately, it's like hands were raised. I came in on worship, and it was awesome. And I wanted to stand out in faith and proclaim God, Jesus in my life. Hey, and that I think every other weekend I get to come up here. My work keeps me from making it every Sunday, but if he wants me here every Sunday, he'll fix that too. I wanted to thank Jesus for all of you, for the blessings and the miracles that you people are in my life and in my heart, to give me the courage to not just stand up here right now in this moment, but to walk every day knowing that 14 days later I'm going to be back here, but to walk every day in that faith with Christ. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else before we go? One more.
Wow, twice in 1 month I've been up here. So I know Pastor Stephen has been encouraging me recently and a while back about my timidity, and that's one of the main things that's holding me back is my refusal to face it, as well as my addiction to nicotine. But I declare before you right now that that's what I'm going to do. And these scriptures I want to send home with you guys. It's from Leviticus 26 verses 6 and 7. I will grant peace in the land, and you will lie down, and no one will make you afraid. I will remove wild beasts, timidity, nicotine addiction, from the land, and the sword will not pass through your country. You will pursue your enemies, and they will fall by the sword before you. Thank you, God.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, my God. Oh, you're going to help me? I just wanted to talk to you about the fear and when God pushes you to do something that you need to jump up and do it right away when he says do it. I had my aunt call me. It's been quite a few years ago. It's been like 5 or 6 years ago. My aunt called me, and she's
I don't want to say she's a black sheep, but she's the aunt that I don't see very often. And she called me out of the blue, and she said her, we called it her husband, but I don't think they were married, was sick and in the hospital. And she said, would you take them up some balloons? Because I did the balloons. And I said, yeah, I'll take them some balloons. And I got up to the hospital, and he sat up, and he talked to me, and he seemed like he was going to be fine. But the whole time I was there, God was saying, speak to him about me. And it was just over and over again. And I kept saying to God, not right now, God. Just, I will start going over to Bonnie's house. I will get to know him. And then I will speak to him about you. And I didn't speak to him about God or Jesus. And I visited for quite a while. And then I left. And the next morning, my Aunt Bonnie called me. And he died that night. And God chose me to go in and bring him to the Lord. I was chosen, and I failed. But thank God that he sent someone in behind me. But I was his first choice to go in and speak to this man about God, and I didn't do it. So now, when God says jump, I say, how high? And I run.
Amen. All right, last opportunity. If anybody, you got one more thing. Okay.
For a person that doesn't like to talk, I twice in one day, scary. I just want to say, Bill, 6 weeks. That's how long I have not smoked. You can do it. The Lord will help you. If you need help, I'll give you my number.
That's what it's all about right there, guys, is helping one another. Anyhow, so bow your heads one more time. We're going to pray, and then you guys can run out. Father God, we thank you so much for your love, God, and your grace, Lord. I pray that as we go, Father God, through our week, Lord, we will remember that fear is not from you, Father God. God, and if we have fear of you, Lord, then we will be fearful of nothing on this earth, God. Lord, I thank you for today, Father God. I thank you for everything that you are doing in each and every one of our hearts, Father God. I pray that you will touch each and every one of us that is here, Father God. I lift up our pastors as they're in Tri-Cities, Father God. I pray a special blessing on them, Father God, that you will touch their hearts, Lord, and touch their minds, Father God. Give them wisdom, Father God. And just be with them today, Father God, and give them safe travels in the rain, Lord. In your name, amen. Amen. Amen.